time again to get our service started. A great place to be today. We're going to have some singing here in a little bit. We're looking forward to, and of course, the Word, the most important thing coming to us. Chris, you have a song?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Let's all stand. Turn page 137. 137.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sight. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Yesterday we had our family reunion up in Clay County at our home place, and the old house was torn down, and my uncle saved the chimney that was with the original house and built a new house onto the chimney, if you will. And he's kept all of the memorabilia, the pictures, and it's kind of like a museum, if you will, of our family, and it's pretty impressive. And what's most impressive, that almost all the folks there were Christians. And we had a group prayer before we ate. That's the most important thing. And that gears us up toward the big reunion that's coming. I wanted to read just a couple verses here, three verses in Psalms, that really, to me, are appropriate for what's going on today. You know, we watch the 6 o'clock news, and we see what the floods have been going on, and the fires, and the earthquakes, and the volcanoes, and all the things that are happening. But there's some comfort in the Word that says we're going to have these kind of things. But we got someone to go to when we do. Psalms 46, it says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So if we don't have trouble right now, we will at some point. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. So do we see all these things today? But it says He's a very present help in a time of trouble. So when these things happen, who else do we have to turn to? There are several folks we need to remember tonight too, as we take prayer requests. I was talking to my nephew yesterday. He works on the fire and rescue, and the young man that drowned in Elk River the other day, he was diving, part of the team that was diving to recover his body. So we certainly want to remember that family. He just graduated from Hoover, was getting ready to go in the military, I understand, and drowned in Elk River. Of course, we want to remember Donnie. I'd like to remember the White family, a lady that I went to church with for years and years. She just passed away. I grew up with her son, Randy White. He sings with the Tanner Boys. And a great family. But, you know, she's in a better place today. She's in a better place. Anyone have prayer requests? Amen. That's right. That's right. We can't find the words to thank him enough. You know, of course, one of my first cousin's husband was at the reunion, and he hadn't been able to come for the last few years. He's had just a tremendous amount of, he's got some kind of hereditary kidney disease, and he'd had kidney transplants, and matter of fact, there was a mix-up in an operation. They actually took out his good kidney at one point. He was on dialysis for a long time, and his brother retired early to give him a kidney. That's pretty impressive. But to see him now, what a turnaround. What a turnaround. And that's only by God's grace.
Yeah.
The kidneys they took out of him, I don't know what the condition was, but those kidneys weighed 15 pounds apiece. I don't know what the issue was, but... to see him now, you'd never know it. But God is a very, very present help in a time of trouble.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing we can accredit that to. Anyone else?
Remember my cousin, Eric Murray.
Amen. Any word on Donnie? Has anybody found anything about Donnie?
Thank you.
remember our service tonight and remember our singers. Remember Rob, you preaching tonight. Remember Rob, lift him up. Amen. We need to remember our we need to remember our government too, and you know, the decision is out there about the Supreme Court judge and how that could affect what we believe in. You know, the thing that has gone on in our country since 1973, is that correct? Is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I can't understand it. But God knows. Anyone else? If not, let us each lead out in our own prayer. Thank you.
amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous a grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need.
Thank you, Chris. Anyone have a word? We got some young guys that are going to sing for us here in just a minute. And when we look at our world today, we think there's not very much hope in a lot of cases. But we look at these young guys that are going to sing for us, and there is hope. Yeah. And an example of that, my niece and her husband live in Somersville, and they have two boys, and one of the boys is 15. And they were out west on a trip, and he had a Bible camp scheduled, and they weren't sure when it was going to start, but anyway, the schedules were conflicting, and they were at Yellowstone and doing the whole thing out west, and he found out when his church camp was going on. And he said, "I don't want to miss my church camp." And she said, "I would not discourage him from making it to church camp." So they had to pay extra to change their flight to get back in time so he could go to church camp. You know, there is hope. When he put that much importance on, and if our kids put that much importance on something, it's up to us to make sure it happens. And I'm impressed by that. I'm impressed by how those kids are raised, that they see it's important. And it's so important that they give up their cell phone for that week. Now, how important is that? If you take somebody 15 years old to give up their cell phone for a week, God means something to them. It does. So just remember that. You know, there is hope. We always want to look at the 6 o'clock news. It would tell us there's no hope. But he tells us there is hope. And he'll come back one day, and that's the hope we have. So, guys, if you want to come on up, and if anyone has a word while they're getting ready. Bless you, Ed. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Yeah, right. You're right about that sermon, Ed. It was out of my control. I started clapping my hands, Al, when you were preaching. I mean, the rocks and the hills are going to cry out if we don't. And we don't want that to happen. So, Al, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. You know, we need to hear that. We need to hear the truth. Because what will the truth do for you? It'll set you free. And that's what we need. All right, guys, that's enough of me.
father and mother who nurtured and raised a brother and sister. Memories made, a pastor to lead us, an altar to pray, the stripes that can't heal and blood that can't save. And I have been blessed. I have been. Every morning when I wake up to see the sun, and I can't help but think about the Lord and all the things He's done. He meets my every need, and though He's been so good to me, now that's enough to praise the Lord for all that He's done. For all He's done, I want to lift my hands praising. For all He's done, I want to live my life to please Him, even though I don't deserve to live. My life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all that He's done. And there are many things that I could praise God for, and if I start them now until I die, only one, I'd have to thank Him for a son. And now that's enough to praise the Lord for all that He's done. For all He's done, I want to lift my hands and praise Him. For all He's done, I want to live my life to please Him, even though I don't deserve to live. My life's just begun, and I can't help but praise Him.
awesome, isn't it? Guys, we thank you. We appreciate you. Parents, we appreciate you. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone have anything? That's right. Amen. 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 Bless you, Kendra. Amen. 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 Yeah, I was over at Luke and Jennifer's this afternoon, and they've got one of those things you talk to and tell it what to play, whatever it is. And the kids were singing one of the songs that's on K-Love, and they couldn't believe I knew the words to it. So we were all singing it, and they couldn't believe it. But what a blessing that is. I mean, from the littlest one on up, they were all singing it.
Amen.
And I really, that's a blessing right there. That sure is. Anyone else? Rob? Jimmy, would you ask a blessing on the message? Rob comes.
Somebody else. It's your time. It's still daylight. If we go by, it's daylight, we got a couple hours, don't we?
Well, I'm going to share one more thing about it.
Yeah. Somebody else. If you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel 17. Very familiar scripture, but we're not going to get to the most familiar part of it. Well, as far as I know, we're not going to get there. Put it that way. 1 Samuel 17. If everybody's done, you know, I'll give you one more chance because sometimes you just need one more. Sometimes I need one more verse or one more person to stand up or one more time for the person up front to say one more chance. You know, a lot of times we come to church and it's like the preacher that came with his son to clean the church, and they had the offering plate in the back, you know, and preacher walks in, throws a quarter in, cleans the church, walking out, picked up a quarter and says, "Wow, quarter's all I got." Son says, "Well, if you'd have put more in, you'd have got more out."
Yeah.
Sometimes we come to church wanting a whole lot more, but we don't want to put anything into it.
Yeah.
You know, God comes every time we get together, God's here. But sometimes I just don't put into it. So tonight, if God wants you to do something, do it. Because if God wants you to put into it, you'll get a whole lot more out of it. Because you cannot outgive God. You can't outgive God. If we do for Him, He does multiple times over for us. If we give a little into Him, He gives a lot back to us. If we sow into Him small amounts, we reap great amounts. So when God wants you to do something, just do it. Whether it's in here or it's out there. But anytime God says do, if we would just do, then we would get a whole lot more out of that plate as we walk back out of it. Because God always says, "I will give to you more than you give to me." 1 Samuel 17. I'm going to read some, drop down. But I'll keep you in place. I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture, but not going to preach on all of it. So 1 Samuel 17 verse 1 says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. And there were gathered together at Chaloko, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Choco and Azekiah and Ephes Damon. and saw and the men of Israel gathered together and pitched by the valley Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Drop down to verse 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I, Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men, an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed the father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an epeth of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the 1,000. And look how the brethren fare and take their pledge. Drop down to 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that comes up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, and the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free. Go down to verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, speaking of David. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Verse 32, and this is the last one. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now, this is a familiar scripture. And you know, when I was praying and thinking and studying, and I was thinking, you know, God, this is so familiar. We know that many of us know this. Inside and out, upside and down, by heart. We've heard it so many years. There's nothing, what's new? There's nothing new. But you know what? There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. Here's what a man told me, and I heard him speaking a long time ago. He said, you know, he was speaking of the basics of life, the basics of Christianity, the basics of the Bible. He was saying, you know, the basics, we need them. Well, we know them, right? Well, if we know them and we're not where we should be, we need to do them again. We need to get back to the basics. If we don't know them, we need to learn the basics. So I just said, God, all right, let's go with it. So we're going to look at this for just a couple of minutes. We'll look at a couple of different things here. If we look at the first verse, the Bible says, the Philistines were gathered together. The Philistines were gathered together. You know, they're the enemy. They're the enemy. They're the ones that's fighting against you and it's fighting against me. And if you think about this for just a minute, church, the Bible says that the enemy of us is the devil. The enemy of God is the devil. So the ones that's out to get you, they are gathered together. They pulled themselves together. They're out to get you and they're out to get me. They're out to get the ones that are fighting for God. Now, I hope you're in there fighting. I hope you're out there on the battle lines. I hope you're on the front lines. I hope you're out there giving the devil the black eye, giving the devil the broken ribs. I hope you're out there doing what God asked us to do. When he said go, he said, church, I need you to go. But the Bible says that when you and I accept the call of God, when you and I accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says that our fight just begins. When I'm with the devil, when I'm the devil's, he don't care a thing about me. when you're part of his kingdom, you say, Rob, I was never part of his kingdom. I never followed him. I never worshiped him. Jesus says, you're either for me or you're against me. There's no in between. There's no fence riding. You're either mine or you're not mine. And if you're not mine and you're against me, you don't have to be out there actively worshiping Satan. If you're just not worshiping God, well, you're doing what the devil wants. You know, one day I used to worship St. Mattress instead of St. Matthew. You know, I read more of St. Mattress on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night than I did St. Matthew. When I was out there caring about St. Mattress, I was out there doing what the devil wanted me to do, not what Jesus. Jesus said, get up and go, as was his custom. He went to church, but at that time, it wasn't my custom to go to church. It was my custom to sleep in, as was the devil's custom to not go to church. So the Bible says that if you're not for Jesus, you're against Jesus. And if you're not one of his, then you're not his. And when you're not his, you're in the other army. So we were out there in the other army, but the moment that you said yes to Jesus, the moment that I said yes to Jesus, we became a soldier in a battle. In the battle of the enemy, the Bible says the enemy gathered together. And I want to talk about that for just a minute, that they actually gathered together. And today, the enemy gathers together against you and against me and against each one of us individually and against us as a church, not just Gold Town, but Jesus' church, the church of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the devil and the fight that we fight is not of flesh and blood. The fight that we fight is of principalities and powers and of rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not that of this world. It's not that that's physical, but rather it's that that's spiritual. So we got to understand that the enemy has gathered together all his people and all his armies and all his demons and all his soldiers to go up against us. So God said to us that we need to put on the whole armor of God that we might stand against the wiles of the devil, because the devil was throwing everything at you that he can. The devil is sending his demons at you as much as he can. You know, I was watching a preacher this morning, and I'd never thought about it this way. Now, I know the devil's not all-knowing, only God is. The devil doesn't know everything. Matter of fact, the devil's not everywhere. He's one place. He's not like God. But I never thought about it like this. This preacher says, Jensen Franklin, he said, you know, the devil is patient. He's patient. He watches you and he watches me day in and day out and day in and day out. And they're watching what we're good at and watching what we're not good at and watching where we're strong and watching where we're weak. And he notices what we give into and what we don't give into. And he attacks us at what we give into. He attacks us where we're weak. He attacks us where we're not strong. So he's patient and he's gathered together and he's got his armies gathered together against you and me, watching us to see exactly where we're good and strong, where we're good soldiers and where we're not. But the Bible says that the enemies, once you got saved, that the devil gathered his people, his demons, and he's coming out after you and he's coming out after me. That's why Jesus said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, he's your adversary. The devil, he's after you. He's not after us. He's after you. Now, yeah, he's after us as a whole, but you and I have to take this thing individually and personally, because he doesn't like you. See, the devil and his demons don't like you. So they're coming after you. They're gathering themselves together to fight up against you. And they're going to do everything they can to get you. Now, you and I might think, well, I'm saved. They don't have a chance to get me. Well, I'm born again. They can't get me. They can't do that. Well, one day, Jesus was walking and talking with his disciples. The Bible says that he started talking to them about Jerusalem. I must go to Jerusalem because there I'm going to die. And this is what he said to them. He said, there I'm going to die. And they're going to torture me. And they're going to punish me, and they're going to nail me to a tree, and they're going to put me in the grave. But one day, 3 days later, I'm getting up. But what Peter was focusing on was the fact that he said, we're going to Jerusalem so I can die. They're going to take me and kill me. Peter says like this. Well, this is my words. Peter looked at him and said, never. Over my dead body, Jesus. Not as long as I'm alive will they take you. Jesus looks at him and says, Satan, get thee behind me. Listen, the Bible says that in the last days that they're going to try to deceive the very elect. And it also says, if the righteous scarcely will make it to heaven, what is there for the ungodly? What is there for the sinners? If the righteous can barely... Jesus says, the devil's coming after you to get you and take you down and to take you back and to take you where you don't want to go. And yes... Just like we heard this morning, he does it with one little sin. And when we give in to that one little sin, it leads to another sin. And we give in to that sin, it leads to another sin. And then sin spreads, doesn't it, preacher? Yeah, we heard over there this morning about sin spreading. Listen, I think the song says it takes you farther than you ever want to go. We don't expect it to go far when we give in, but the devil takes us farther than we ever want to go. And he does his job well. He knows his time is short. So he got every... Listen, it's not just one, but it's many. You see, one day there was a boy. There was a guy. I don't know his age. But one day there was this male. And he gave in. He gave in to sin. I don't know what he did. But he opened himself up to the devil. All right? He opened himself up to a devil. And a demon came in. And you do it many ways. I told him somewhere, sometime not too long ago, I did it once when I was in high school with a game. It's made by Parker Brothers. And those are games, right? Parker Brothers, they make games. Well, they also make this game called Ouija. You know what I'm saying? You know that? The Ouija board? Well, when I was young, I played with that. There ain't nothing to play about that. There is nothing silly about that. And there ain't nothing fun about that. That's opening yourself up to a demon just to come on in. That's what it is, like it or not. And that's what happens. So we do these things. We watch these things. We partake of these things. And we open ourselves up. And the Bible says, you know, this one guy, he opened himself up one time and he didn't stop. So he kept going. And another day, he opened himself up another time. I don't know what he did. Maybe he played with a Ouija board one day. And maybe next day, he drank alcohol. Maybe the next day, he took a pill. Maybe the next day, he watched a movie he shouldn't have. Maybe the next day, he hung out with people he should. Maybe, but one day, ended up, he had 2,000 demons in him. 2,000 demons in him. You know him as Legion. You know him as Legion. What happens was, 2,000 of the devil's enemy, or the devil's demons, were watching him and waiting and ganging up against him. They gathered together to take him. And they ended up getting him. That's what happens to us. The devil gathers his army against you and against me. And he watches us. And he tries to trick you. And he tries to test you and tempt you and get you in. And he's got them gathered around. But the good thing is, if you look at verse 2, the Bible says that Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together. Listen. We know the devil gathers together. Now we, the church, have got to gather together. The Bible says in Psalms 133, verse 1, how beautiful is it for the brethren to dwell in unity. And if you drop down to verse 3, I think it is, in the second part says, it is there in that unity that God commands his blessings. Listen, when the church gets together in strength and power in numbers, when the church gets together and agrees, when we quit backbiting, when we quit talking about each other, when we quit murmuring behind each other's back, when we get together and agree, there is strength in numbers, and there's power in numbers. Listen, and there's strength from numbers, and there's power from numbers. Listen, when we get together, you can't defeat us. The Bible says that, I think it was Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, I think it was about 120 of them, they were together with one mind in one place with one God and one focus, and that was to lift up the name of Jesus, and that was to lift up the name of the Lord, that was to draw the people in and to call up. The Bible says they were in one mind and were in one accord, and the Holy Spirit fell and the power of God fell. Why? Because the church was dwelling together in unity. The church was doing what we were supposed to. The Bible says it like this. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Now Jesus was, he said, I am one with my Father, and my Father is one with me. And when we get to the point that we are one with him and God is one with us, and we have that mind and we think about the others and each other. You see, the Bible says this, where there's two or three gathered together in my name. Two or three gathered together in my name. One, two, three. Two or three gathered in my name. Every time we come in this place, every time we come to church, every time we get together here, we get together out there. It doesn't matter, but when we get together, the Bible says that where there's two or three gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And then he says, where two or three agree on one thing, that shall I do. So when we get together as a church, and we finally, you want to see our church grow, not just Gold Town grow, but the church of God grow. When you want to see the church of Jesus Christ grow, when you want to see the big church start taking over, when you want to see our country come back, we've got to get the church back and get the church powerful again. And it says when the church gets together and when the church starts to agree and when the church becomes one in mind, that's when God will bless it. That's when God will move, because when we get together, we can't be stopped. When we get together, we get things done. When we get together as a church and we start agreeing and loving on one each other, loving on each other and just being together what we should be. Because you see, Jesus said it like this: we are one family, we're one body. We're one body, one big, huge body. We might be the eyeball here at Gold Town. Maybe Fisher, they're the foot, and Fisher down here, maybe they're the heart. Maybe Alan's fork is the ear. But we got to be able to see and hear. The heart has to pump, the feet takes us where we need to go. We're all one. And when we realize that and we get together and we start getting in unison, that's why I like that new that service they have, the Saturday night service. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you, how many of you have been, don't raise your hand, all right, no condemnation here. How many of you have been to the Saturday night spirit service, a.k.a. the community service? Because that's where we as the church, not we as our church, but the church get together. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to start getting together. We've got to pull together, because when we get together, things happen, things shake, things move. God's hand starts, his power. Nehemiah heard that the wall of Jerusalem was down. The wall had been knocked down, and he knew that they needed that wall for protection. So the Bible says he goes to the king and he says, I'd like to go put the wall back up. And the king says, here you go, and take what you need, get what you need, take it. But listen, the Bible says it like this: he took the people with him with the mind to work. Maybe that's another sermon now. With the mind to work. You know, I was talking to a pastor's wife this week, and not a pastor's wife in this church, because I talk to Lori every day. It wasn't this person. It wasn't our church, just to let you off the hook, unless you just feel any association with it. She was talking about how in their church, she's old compared to me. She's 6 weeks older than I am. So that's old, and I never let her forget that. Right? When I see her, I remind her of that. But she was talking, so she's 47. Her kids are all out, you know, graduated, out of college and everything. And she's still doing stuff like little kids VBS. Now, that's what we do. But she says, if it wasn't for me, it wouldn't be done. Doesn't have a kid, as we say, a dog in the fight. Don't have a kid in the game. But she's still the one doing it, with a bunch of parents and other Christians that aren't doing it. Not that it's here, because it's not talking about Gold Town. But the same person there has done it for probably 25 years is still doing it, because others have yet to step up and do the work. I don't know where that came from, but that was free. It didn't cost you anything. If you don't like it, just throw it out. But listen, Nehemiah, back to Nehemiah. That's where, I don't know, Nehemiah. So Nehemiah gets people together with a mind to work. And they go down and they start to build the wall. And they start making good progress. And the people around, the armies around, the lands around start seeing this thing. They start coming around and going, you're getting that thing built up. And then they start thinking, well, maybe we might want to conquer them again someday. We might not need to swallow up. So the Bible says that Nehemiah got them together and said, we're going to work two by two, by two by two. But one's going to work and build, and the other's going to stand guard with the sword. So when they got together, they built a wall in less time the second time than it took them the first time, because they had a mind. It's kind of like the old sports adage, you know, team. Somebody tell me what it stands for. Team, what's it stand for? The sports at anybody? Nobody in here play sports? Together? Everyone? achieves more. Thank you. Together, everyone achieves more. When we get a mind to work, that's why the Bible says one sends 1,000 to flight, but two sends 10,000 to flight. Because when you and I work together as a team, together, everyone achieves more. And you throw God in the mix, together, everyone plus God achieves a whole lot more. So the Bible says that when we know this, well, we're in this fight, and the enemies gather together in his numbers, that we've got more in number than what he's got, because we, the church, have God on our side. But know this, that in this fight, we are gathered together just like the devil. Just like the devil. So the devil gathers his army. God gathers his army. So if you look down in verse 4, the Bible says this, there went out a champion. See, the devil has his person. The devil has his people. The devil's got his army. Now, God needs his. God needs his. God needs his army. God needs his person to step up. So my question is this, who will it be? Who will it be? That's not my question. That's God's question. God said in Isaiah, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Who? Tell me who. Somebody tell me you will go and you will fight. Somebody tell me you will go do my work. When I said go ye into the world, somebody please tell me that you will go. Do what Paul said. He said, I think it was in Timothy maybe. He said, fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight out there. It's a fight. It's not fun. It's a fight. It's not easy. It's a fight. But it's a fight for God. It's a fight for good. And it's a fight for your friends. And a fight for my friends. It's a fight for this world. So sometimes, you know, Jesus calls people. Sometimes he calls them out. You know, when we ask for volunteers, sometimes we don't get it. So we volunteer people, right? You know what I mean? Like, you know. If I'm asking for something, someone might say, thank you, Trent, for volunteering. Trent didn't volunteer. He said, I didn't raise my hand. This morning over in the other service, I said, anybody like to pray? And a sweet little girl, as soon as I said that, reached up to fix her glasses. I mean, as soon as I said, you want to pray, she went, shoo, and fixed her glasses. So whatever, said, you just volunteered, didn't you? You should raise your hand. And she didn't. That's what we do. We don't volunteer, so here at Goldtown, we lovingly volunteer you. But sometimes Jesus, one day, he's walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he's walking, and he knows he can't do all the work himself down while he's down here, because he's not everywhere at all times. He's confined in a human body. So he says, I need some people. So he's walking by the Sea of Galilee. He looks, he sees a couple of fishermen over here. He says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. The Bible says they dropped nets immediately and followed him. Well, that's another sermon someday. Follow him when he says follow me. The Bible says he was walking by a tax table one day, and he looks at the tax collector and says, follow me, and I'll make you a collector of souls instead of a collector of taxes. Collector of souls for Christ instead of collector of taxes. So the Bible says he got out and followed him. One day he was walking through town. He had been preaching and teaching and healing, and he was famous now because of his works. And the Bible says he's walking through town, and he passed by a tree. He passed by a tree. Now, this tree yesterday was just a tree. Just an old sycamore tree. Nothing big about it. This tree this morning was just a tree. Nothing big about it. Just an old sycamore tree. But at this moment, when Jesus was passing by, this tree held something important. This tree held something of great value. This tree held something that Jesus wanted. The Bible says Zacchaeus had climbed up the tree. So Jesus looks up and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. So he came on down. You know, one day Jesus asked us, he said, Rob, well, it's time for you to come. So I came. And hopefully one day he asked you, he said, come on down. So you came. Sometimes Jesus calls people because we don't volunteer. Then sometimes they volunteer. Sometimes he says it like this. I think it was in Isaiah when he said, whom shall I send? Who will go? Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. I volunteer. I'll be the one. I'll do the work. I'll do the deed. I'll go fight the fight. Send me. One day he was calling to Samuel. And Samuel said, he just said, Samuel. And Samuel says, speak, for I'm listening. Speak, for I'm listening. You see, he's asking us who will go fight? Who will take part? Who will get on the front line? Who will be out there taking on the devil? What do we have to do when we're out there? We've got to get out there. We've got to win the lost for Jesus. We've got to win the lost at any cost. We've got to win the lost out of the devil's hands into God's hands. We've got to win the lost. We've got to edify the church. We've got to speak good about the church. We've got to talk good to it. We've got to tell the church that you're doing good. Tell the church that you can make it. We've got to tell the church that I've got your back. We've got to tell each other I'm here for you. We've got to pray for each other. We've got to get out there and edify the church. We've got to disciple young Christians. Now, young Christians aren't young by physical age, but young by spiritual age. He says the elder Christians, the more mature Christians, need to disciple the younger Christians. Now, there are some older Christians who are still drinking milk and need to be discipled by other Christians. Listen, who's going to get out there and disciple Christians? Who's going to get out there and read God's word? Who's going to get out there and witness? Who's going to get out there and go to church? And I say that to the Sunday night crowd. Who's at church? So you all go, here am I. I'm right here. Just look. But you know what? It ain't about numbers, okay? It's about souls. But when I look here, and I look here, I think, how much more should be here? How much more should want to be here? You know, somebody said something about people not doing Sunday night service. So that's up to them. That's up to them. That's fine. But my thing is just this. I want to be where God gathers. I want to be where the church gathers. I want to be where God pours out his blessings. And I get blessed at home. I watch preachers every day and get blessed. I watch Christian music every day and get blessed. You say, you watch Christian music? Yeah, I do. Because I watch other churches in their worship time, their music time, and I get blessed. But it's so different when you're here, when you're living it, feeling it right here. So yeah, I like to go to church. I want to go to church. And I don't know why others don't want to go to church. But I look around and I go, well, they don't. But you know what, Jimmy? Like you say, we have church with who's here. Yeah, that's what we do. We have church with who's here, and those who aren't, they just missed a good one. I mean, think about it. Whoever didn't hear this singing tonight, man, they missed a good one. Now, from that point on, it went downhill. But from that point, that was a good one. I mean, you don't get better. You know, I was listening to a CD today, and they sang, I'm Blessed. Okay? A group of old people. All right? Old people. Like, you know, my age did not any better than what I heard tonight. I mean, it wasn't any better than what I heard tonight. Let me tell you, when you've got someone singing that knows who they're singing about, that's when it's good. And I'm telling you, not any better than what they missed a good one if they didn't get. We ought to cut that off the CD so they don't get to hear it. Tell them, you should have just been here. You should have just been here. They missed a good one. Go to church. That's part of it. Now, I mean, not everything about fighting a battle is hard. It's not hard to go to church. Just drive to the same place, and you're here. All right. So, who's going to be that one? The devil has his one. Who's going to be the one for God? Who's going to be the one for Jesus? Down in verse 11. Look at verse 11 real quick. Verse 11 says this. It says, when Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were afraid. Why? Because they started living and looking in themselves. They started living and looking with their own eyes, with their natural eyes, not with their spiritual eyes. God said like this, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but I gave you a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. I gave you a spirit with, he said, be strong in the power of his might. Be strong and go in the power of God's might, of God's power, of God's strength. When we go, don't go in us. When we go, go in him. When we fight, don't fight like us. When we fight, fight like him. Just like you read, he's a very present help in time of trouble, in time of need, in time of fight, in time of battle. He said, I'll be there with you. I'll be there for you. I'll fight in your place. You just got to stand and watch me. Fear not. Don't be afraid. I think I like when that angel came down the night Jesus was born. And the angel said to the shepherds. That's who they were. They were shepherds. And the angel looks at him and says, fear not. Now let me tell you, if I was them, you could tell me fear not, but I'd already done something in my pants when an angel freak comes out over the sky, out over me, and lights shine, and angels start talking. You know, I'd have been like, I'm going to go see the baby after I go change clothes. I don't know. He said, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Like I said, for this day, church, this is that day. This day tonight, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Jesus is here. Jesus is on the scene. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to fear. Just get Jesus and let Jesus get you. Then you can have that love and power and sound mind that God promises, and that peace in trouble when times get hard. You can have that. That's what God promised you. Jesus said it like this. Let me put my eyeballs on. These are awful eyeballs, by the way. But my other one's broke and I'm cheap, right? I don't know. I'm not cheap. Yes, I am. Don't lie. I'm cheap. These are my non-expensive glasses, right? I have two pair that cost me $7 a piece. That's what I'm talking about, expensive. These cost me $7 for three of them. The other one's broke and these didn't. If that tells you anything. So listen. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, the Bible says Jesus went down to the temple one day. He went down to the temple, to the synagogue, again, because that was his custom. It's where he went. So he went to the synagogue, and he noticed that there were sellers and buyers, and they were ripping people off. And the Bible says he got mad. He got angry in love. And he said, the Bible says it like this. He started kicking over tables, and he threw them out. Just like that. The Bible says he kicked. I don't know. Here we go. The Bible says he kicked them out. Just kicked the tables over and threw them out. I mean, threw them out. By himself. Didn't say he used any. Didn't call the boys. You know, he didn't call the guys that wear those black gloves that don't have names recorded. You know what I mean? Those people, right, that take care of business for people. You know what I'm saying? You know, no fingerprints, so you can't. Jesus didn't use those people. He said, by myself, you're getting out of here. Because this is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. So the Bible says, by himself, he kicked them out. That's the kind of power, that's the kind of person that we serve, that we work with. That listen, he said it like this. When you're fighting this fight, that no weapon, none, not one single individual weapon formed against you will prosper when you fight with God. When you fight for God, that you will be victorious every time. You will win every time. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to always win because I don't always fight in God. I don't always fight God's way. I do it my way sometimes. And that don't win every time. That don't win hardly ever. When I do it my way, the devil's way wins because he's smarter than I am. He's craftier than I am. He knows the word more than I do. Yeah, I said that. He can quote it, and he can stick a word in here that changes it, like, surely you will surely not die if you bite of the fruit, not being the only difference in the word, in the phrase, but he had it right. So sometimes I do it my way. Sometimes I do it Rob's way, and that doesn't work. But when I do it God's way, when I do it the way of Jesus, when I do it the way of Christ, every time I win, every time I'm victorious, every time I come out on top. Now, the Israelites, they were afraid because they did not walk in this moment. They looked through their own eyes, not God's eyes. If they looked through God's eyes, they already would have won. They knew the victory was theirs. They knew that God would take care of them. But they didn't. We've got to, in this world, when we're fighting this fight, look through his eyes, not my eyes, not your eyes, not eyes of natural man. Because natural man sees facts. And I never thought about this. And I think I'm close to being done, but I'm not sure. I never thought about this, but a preacher said it this morning on TV. John Hagee said this, facts are facts, but facts change. God is God, and he never changes. Facts are facts, and facts change. Listen, yesterday, the fact was, it was hot in this room. Now, today, the fact is, it's only hot up here. How many, anybody cold this evening? Anybody cold? Is it cool in here? It was cool when we came in, right? The fact is, yesterday, it wasn't cool. Those change. God says, I'm God and I change not. I'm God, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the God and I won, I win, and I will always win. And those who walk with me, those who go with me, those who fight for me, those who stick with me, those who look with me, those who see with me, will win. Now, the battle sometimes gets lost because of me, but the war is won already. It's done. It's taken care of. So they walked in fear because they didn't walk in God. They didn't walk in Jesus. Now, let's move down real quick. I'm going to do this one real quick. Move down to verse 17. Verse 17 says this. Jesse said unto his son David, take all these for thy brethren, all this food here, all this corn, all these loaves, go to the camp. Now, he didn't stop there. He said, also, take this cheese for the whole group of them. So he took care. Jesse was taking care of others. That's what God calls us to do, church. God calls us to take care of other people. He said it like this. Esteem others greater than yourself. Esteem others before yourself. He said, pray one for another. Be there for each other when you need. You hear a need. You find out a need. You can meet that need. He said, you meet that need. He said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I needed clothes, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you took care of me. And they said, when did we see you sick or hungry or without clothes or in prison? He said, when you've done it to the least of these, when you've done it to one of my children, when you've done it to somebody in the church, he said, you've done it to me. He calls us to take care of each other. He calls us to watch out for each other. He calls us to be the need meter for each other. He calls us to be what he is for us as much as we can for others. And he said it like this. I love you, now you love them. I love you, now you love them. You go love them, show love, do love, be love, take part in love, act in love. Because one day you're going to need somebody. One day you're going to need somebody to lean on. You're going to need somebody to pray. You're going to be in a way. I thought about this today as I was coming in. Today, my family gathered in the hospital. We gathered in a conference room in the hospital. There's probably 10, 12 of us, something like that. And we gathered just to pray for my sister because she is in a way that she needs us. And we got together, a group of us, and we formed a circle and we put her on speakerphone so she could hear and we prayed. Why? Because she needs us to. There's going to come a day when you're going to need somebody else. There's going to come a day when you're going to need somebody to do something that you can't do. It might be pray because you're in a way you can. It might be mow your grass because you're laid up. It might be do something that you always do, but you're in a way that you can't. Jesus said it like this, go do for others in love because that's what I did for you and that's what I do for you every day. He said, take care. Jesse said, here, take care of your brothers, but don't stop there. Take care of the others. And Jesus said, take care of each other, love one another, and be for each other what I am for you. That's what he said. Now I am just about done if we'd get ready to sing. Verse 32. I think it's 32. I got to read. My eyeball's on to read my writing. Verse 32 says it like this. And David said to Saul that no man's heart fell because of him being the giant, being Goliath, being the devil's man, the enemy. Thy servant, being David, will go and fight with this Philistine. What David was saying, don't worry, I got this because I got God. Don't worry, I'm going to win this because I got God. Don't worry, I'm going to win this fight because I know Jesus, because I walk in Jesus, because I talk in Jesus, because I live in Jesus, because I let Jesus live in me, and I let Jesus talk to me, and I let Jesus walk with me, and Jesus knows me, and I know Jesus. So when this battle comes, it's not going to be me, it's going to be him, because I walk in faith. The Bible says the just shall walk by faith, not by sight. It's not what you see, it's what you know. In the middle of the night when you're walking through the room and you're going to the bathroom and it's dark and your toe meets the end table. Do you feel saved? No. At that point, I want to curse the table, right? I'm not saying I feel saved in that moment, but you know what? I know I'm saved. Don't matter what I feel, it's what I know. It's what God said. God said, I so love the world that I gave Jesus my son that rob whosoever will that believeth in me should not perish but have everlasting life. And I put my name in there. And I believed in him. So I have everlasting life. So does everybody that believes. Whether I feel like it or not right now, I have everlasting life. Whether the devil's telling me, you thought that thought, you can't be a Christian. You drove like that, you can't be a Christian. You cheated, you can't be a Christian. God says, you're still mine. I love you. I saved you. I covered you. The just walk by faith. What we know. Not by sight, but what we see. Tonight, what do you need? Tonight, what do you need? What do you need, Jesus? Are you in the fight? I guess is my first question. If you're not in this fight, if you're not a part of his family, if you've never given your heart to him, or if you've backslid, you want to come back to him. Tonight he says it like this. Let all come, everybody, whosoever, come. Join the fight. Get in my side. Get on my side. Get in my army. Tonight maybe you're part of his army, but you're not that one. You're the one that's sitting back watching instead of being out there fighting. He's got too many watchers, needs more fighters. More soldiers on the front line. Needs more people out there fighting. Tonight, maybe you're part of the family, a part of the army, but you need to step up and take another role. Maybe tonight you don't walk in power. Maybe you walk in fear. Maybe you walk in fear. God says you don't need to walk in fear. Walk in my power. Maybe you need to come and get that taken care of. You. Someone once said, fear knocked at the door, faith answered, wasn't anybody there. Because where faith is, fear is not. Where faith is, fear is not. Maybe you need to come build your faith. Maybe tonight you need to come and talk to God about not being that Christian that takes care of others. Tonight, I don't know what it is. It could be those and many other things. If you need Jesus, this one thing I know, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. As we stand, if you need or want to talk to him, come pray.
Page 23. Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn you away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
Remember, Jesus loves you. Bottom line, all you need to know is Jesus loves you. Now, I'm going to do something that maybe I shouldn't or maybe I should, but do they have any other songs that they sing? No? Okay. All right. Because I know you blessed us. So learn a few more and come back and sing all of them. All right? When you come back, we want like a whole concert. All right. Remember, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Anybody else have anything? Absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody who believes in the healing power of Jesus, if you would come and pray.
Situation, Lord. Lord, we say thank you, Lord, for the obedience, Lord, to come, Father. Lord, to put your trust in you, Father, Lord. We come together, Lord, as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. We come together, Lord, as a family, Father, tonight, Lord, to ask this prayer, Lord, put our faith in you.
God,
we so thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We're so thankful, Lord, that we have somewhere to go. That you ask us to come, Father. Lord, whatever that it may be, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, just to bless, Father, Lord.
And trust and confidence that you're able, Lord God, when the elders have called you, gather around here and anoint you with oil, Lord God, and pray
the love of God
in Jesus' name, Lord God.
Is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. How measureless and strong it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure,
yeah,
how measureless and strong. Saints and angels' song.
Yeah, yeah, amen. Whew, the love of God. The most intelligent man wrote, and I'm not saying he's most intelligent when he wrote, Amazing Grace. Amazing. Can't describe the love of God, can't describe the grace of God. Call it amazing and let your mind wander. The love of God. Thank God for the love of God. Yeah. Anybody have anything?
Probably I thank the Lord for his children.
Yeah.
In the midst
Yeah.
And I want you to tell them that Mercy Me Kids was here. That really created
a... That's right. That's right.
I'm not lying. I'm not making it up. They're children.
Amen.
And they're from Mercy Church.
That's right. There you go.
There you go.
Amen. All right, somebody else? Music camp starts tomorrow morning.
Rob, you mentioned the Saturday night spirit service. It's going to be on the third Sunday in July. And it's going to be at Bethel Church there in Kenna.
In Kenna.
Yeah.
Get off the Kenna exit, turn left, go a mile to 21, turn right, about a mile. Pleasant Valley Road is on your left, and it's probably a mile out that road. It's the second church, not the first church, the second church. And their new pastor is going to give the message that night. Now, if you appreciated the anointed singing, let them know it.
Yeah.
And the playing. I'm telling you, that little guitarist was something else. I mean, there is no... Yeah, that was awesome. All the way around. All the way around. Yes, that's right. That's right. Amen. I couldn't play and sing if I had to. I can't clap and sing. You know, this morning they had us clapping, and when I start clapping, singing, it just goes off. I mean, it's just awful. That's when Lori says, stop. And I don't know which one she means stop, but, you know. I'm just kidding. She don't do that. We've got two strapping young men in the back ready to take the offering as we leave. Remember, God loves you. The love of God is with you. If everybody would bow your heads. Pastor Jimmy, would you pray for the offering and dismissal, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, for what took place here tonight, Father, Lord. Lifting up your word, Father, Lord, and your spirit, Father. We just pray, Lord, for this offering. Lord, it will go to the upbuilding of your kingdom, Father. Pray, Lord, for all those, Lord, that took part today, Father, Lord. All of us who made it out, Father, Lord. And all the prayer requests that we have, special prayer requests that we had for Carla's mother-in-law, Father, Lord, we just ask that you just bless that situation, Father. Help us, Lord, to put our trust in you, Lord, every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.